Well, this morning we sing to God's praise and glory in Psalm number 32, and we shall sing the opening verses in Psalm number 32, and verses 1 to 4. O blessed is the man to whom is freely pardoned all the transgression he has done, whose sin is covered. The opening four verses we sing to God's praise and glory. Psalm 32. Now we shall join together in prayer. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the forgiveness of sin. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, we read in the scriptures. And this is the blessing of every single individual, without exception, without any further qualifications or considerations. Everybody who believes and trusts in God's word and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are given the assurance that this is the great reality, the great undergirding truth that marks out God's dealing with all his redeemed people. And we rejoice in this great message of affirmation, the forgiveness of all sin, the blotting out of all the handwriting of the law, all the ordinances, the criticisms, the condemnations, the charges laid to our account, all blotted out, freely forgiven and put away forever, never to be brought into view again. This, O God, is the unique mystery and the marvel of the gospel, that God should forgive sinners freely because of the immensity of his love, the uniqueness of God's love. God so loved the world as only God can love. And so this morning, as we sing this great psalm, which speaks of these things, we pray that we would take to heart, not simply that these words were written away back hundreds of years before Christ, but these words are brought up in the New Testament scriptures by the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Romans. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities have been covered freely by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we pray that as we gather around the Holy Scriptures again this evening to know more concerning this wonderful salvation, that we would raise our hearts and open our ears to pay careful attention to what it is that the Scriptures are saying to us. The New Testament Scriptures written by the Apostles, the completed Scriptures, the final Word, God who in different times and in different ways spoke to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days, the gospel days, spoken to us by his Son. Help us then to listen and to listen carefully and to learn and order that we may live thereby. We give thanks, O God, that there is this Lord's Day, which reminds us of this gospel, the resurrection day of Christ, the new day that began to dawn when he rose from the dead, that day 2,000 years ago, and entered into a new era in the history of the world, the day of the gospel, the last days, the day that it is the day that brings in the final reckoning with God, the final renewal of all things, the final consummation of the ages, and the gospel points to it all, O God, by pointing back to the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning we give thanks, O God, that we have such a message and such an occasion and opportunity as this to hear the message, that we have the scriptures in our hands, and we pray that these scriptures would be in our hearts as we open and read and listen to what God is saying to us. We remember again our loved ones. We pray for them as always we do, and we do so again this morning. We long for their salvation above all things. We pray for our rulers over us in these days, when there seems to be calamity after calamity, when there seems to be increasingly a tempo of uncertainties, almost of a disastrous nature, so life-changing, so life-destroying in many cases. And yet we give thanks, O God, that we thus far have been spared, and that we have, as it were, been led through these difficult days with a measure of safety, a measure of security, but also always through the gospel, a measure of hope. And so we give thanks, O God, for this renewed occasion around the Holy Scriptures. We pray for the preaching of the gospel, not only in our own midst here and in our own ears and in our hearts, but throughout the whole world. May thy kingdom come, may God's will be done on the earth as it is done in heaven. May God's name be hallowed. And may we, O God, hallow the name of God this morning as we so gather, as we do now, around the Holy Scriptures. Hear us in heaven, O God. This is our prayer as we come again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to read in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and we'll read in chapter 1. I'm sure we're all familiar with the chapter, but it has a bearing on what we're thinking about this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we shall read from the beginning. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, them that are perishing, foolishness. It is moronic. But unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And amen. We come now to the notices. By now, you should, most of you, if not all of you, should have received a correspondence from our session clerk, Mr. Steele. We are in the process of seeking an alternative venue for worship where we can gather together during the time of the church closure. We're not sure how long the church will be closed. We are speaking, of course, with our legal advisors and our project manager, who is an expert in these structural matters, and we're following their advice as best we can. But we are making alternative arrangements, and we hope to be able to have meetings in the School of Arts in Pitt Street. That's just at the very back of St. George's. And it is just where many of us park our cars, for example, round in Pitt Street. We have chosen the city centre to continue, if possible, our alternative venues, because we are used to coming into the city. And there are, of course, other alternatives, church halls, school halls, community halls and such like thing. But we've chosen this particular way of trying to gather together again. So arrangements have been for us to meet on Wednesday for our midweek service in these hired premises in Pitt Street, which is very handy to the church. We also have this. We're also making a booking to hold late afternoon services each Lord's Day, commencing on the 11th of April. You should have received email or SMS advice setting out the full details of these planned service times. If you have not, then contact Alex Steele, our session clerk, for further details if you require them. We should note that we could not start the afternoon service on the 4th of April, as the venue is closed because of the Easter holidays. So the plan is that we meet on Wednesdays and also on Sunday afternoons. The morning services in the meantime will be put online as we are presently doing. So you will be listening in by telephone link up on Sunday mornings and meeting in the afternoon. for one service. Many churches, of course, have only one service on the Lord's Day, and many churches do not have a venue of their own, and so they are continually meeting in public halls and school halls and such like things. So we are now experiencing something of that nature ourselves. But hopefully it will only be on a temporary basis. Well, these are the notices concerning the alternatives. Wednesday, of course, as usual at 7 p.m. And the service this evening, of course, online at 6 p.m. We welcome visitors who phone in to join with us. I understand there are quite a number of people phoning in, and so we're encouraged by that. We'll leave the notices there for the moment, and we shall sing now further to God's praise and glory in Psalm 32 and verses 5 and 6. In Psalm number 32 from verse 5 and 6, to God's glory.